And taking it out of my Bible because I want to obey the Lord. I asked the Lord several weeks ago to shake some things up, and maybe this is the start of it, and I want to obey the Lord today when I do this. My message will not be long at all, so I just took the outline out. I want you to look at John 3, and Brother Jason, it's your fault. God used you. That picture up there changed everything for this morning, for me. Don't you think God can use anything sometimes, right? I don't expect you to be as sensitive toward this as I have been lately, but I've been a little extra sensitive about this backwards Christianity thing because we do have it all backwards. Amen. And I grew up with a mom and dad who always had a treasure chest kind of like that. It wasn't as nice as that. It was like a trunk. I know that looks more like maybe a jewelry box or something, but the thought that came to my mind when I first saw it was like, my mom and dad had these, I guess they got them from college, and they would fill them up with their college junk. And they were heavy. They were pretty heavy. In fact, Brother Nick and I many times wounded ourselves on those treasure things, different places we lived. I remember one time in particular, they were set out in a place, and Brother Nick and I got into a big wrestling match, and we both landed on it, and I think he busted his head, and that was kind of a blessing. But the rest of it, you know, I got in trouble for. But we moved those things. Every time we moved, we'd have to pick up those things and carry and move them and all that. And one day, my mom and dad finally sat down and looked in that chest. And I realized there was a lot of things in there that just brought back memories. And I remember them both sitting there watching, going through all the stuff for hours. They finally took things out of the treasure chest, relived a lot of memories, and then we finally got rid of them. They really just fell apart, probably because Brother Nick and I fell on them all the time and damaged them, and we finally got rid of them. But the thought that came to my mind today was this, and that's why I had the lady sing like that back to back to back. I just felt led to have them sing. The first song was an emphasis on the fact that we're not guilty anymore. The second song talks about the woman caught in the act of adultery. And I think sometimes we as Christians sit back and listen to that song. It's like, well, you know, that doesn't really apply to me. Yeah, it does. Because we've all committed adultery on God with the world and sin in our own flesh. And then the third song, knowing that every day God wants to spend the day with us. I believe when we get saved, God gives us a treasure chest. There's something inside that treasure chest that makes Christianity so different than everything else. Except it's not going to be something heavy and junky you carry around and you fall into. It's something that we're supposed to cherish and treasure. Inside that treasure chest is the fact that we are forgiven and we're not guilty. Inside that treasure chest is the fact that God looks down on us and says, I have a new message for you. It's not of judgment, but it's of joy. It's not of condemnation, but it's of charity. It's a God that loves us and cares for us. In the last week, I received four or five text messages from different people in this church, and every one of them was a complaint or a gripe about something. Maybe the reason the world's not coming in the church as much is because we have taken all the good stuff out of our treasure boxes and filled it with gossip, complaining, and critical spirit. Maybe our treasure boxes don't appeal to the world anymore because the devil's made an imitation that's just as attractive. I get it. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to deal with it. That's part, and that comes with my job. But it was the sources that I received these texts from that disappointed me a lot. It's supposed to be people that are helping with the ministry, not hindering the ministry. I'm sorry, visitors, but this is what the Lord's laid in my heart today. It's supposed to be people that would open these treasure boxes and look at them and say, man, God's been so good to me. God has blessed me so much. I don't have time for gossip or critical spirit. I don't have time to waste in negativity and that we're just conditioned that way in America today. You know why? Because the Republicans and Democrats and our own president is teaching us that. Everything's got to be a fight. Everything's got to be a fuzz. Everything's got to be negative. Everything's got to be, and it is so contrary to, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The problem is many Christians today, we quote that verse till we're blue in the face. Many of us can quote it backwards, but it's no longer in our treasure chest anymore. We're saved. We're going to heaven, but we've become so consumed with stupidity today. We're so consumed with things that waste God's time. We're full of gossip and a critical spirit, and God hates that stuff. It's amazing that we live in a country now where Christians, when you put the checklist out of what sin is, it's always adultery and fornication and pornography and all those alcohol and getting drunk. I get it. All those things are sins. But you know what God despises in the Bible? A crooked tongue, a critical spirit, a bad spirit and a bad attitude. You know what this is a message about? It's time to call the Christians who think we're okay to not realize we're not okay and get right. Many of us need to clean out our treasure chest and go get in there like my mom and dad did and say, wow, there is some stuff I want to keep in this. And maybe my treasure chest is broken. God can give me a new one. I'm going to take it now and put it in there. Because what is in store for the Christian should not be consumed with what happened yesterday. No wonder the world doesn't want Christianity today. No wonder Christianity's so backwards. It's all about me in America today in churches. It's all about me. If I get offended, if I get hurt, well, sugar, let me help you with something. It's not about you. It's about a Savior who died on the cross and shed his blood and 3 days later rose again. And I'm preaching to myself right now. But God give us some Christians that'll say, wow, I can't believe I'm not guilty. I can't believe he loves me. I can't believe he wants to spend a day with me. I can't believe it. Man, there's too much good in this book. There's too much good going on. Passion for that which is good and right. But instead, it's constant bickering. It's constant criticism. It's constant. People are more assumed with what other Christians aren't or are doing more than themselves nowadays. We've just forgotten the real meaning of John 3:16. It's become noise. Go to 1 Corinthians 13, and I'll close. I told you I won't preach long. I'm done after this. I'm just obeying the Lord today. Thank you, ladies, for singing. Did the other two leave? Oh, they had classes. Oh, I bet their subs were real happy right now. Just blame preacher. Look what Paul said. And again, those of you that texted me this last week, some of you know who you are. I'm not mad at you. And it's not you. It's been several weeks. It's let's go to the preacher and just complain, right? That's a society today. It's always about complaining, right? We're going to complain about President Trump. We're going to complain about President Obama. We're going to complain about Democrats, Republicans. Complain. We're professional complainers, and social media is enabling that nowadays. And we actually think we're big and we're the rooster of the yard because we got to complain off our chest. Well, maybe you ought to keep it yourself, or if anything, give it to God, let God take care of it. Or instead of complaining, fix it. I like to fix things. You ask my wife when we have a little disagreement, what do I want to do right away, babe? We're going to talk about it right now. I don't like that. If I feel like there's something wrong with me and someone in the church, some of you have been there, I'm going to come right to you. We're going to fix it now. I don't like stuff to fester. So this is Sunday morning. You should be preaching this Wednesday night. No, God told me to preach it right now. And again, my outline's not even. There's my outline. I have no idea what I'm going to say now. No, I really. Seriously.
There it is.
I'm not following my outline today. I had 4 points and they all started with letter B. I know that. So. But let's read 1 Corinthians 13 and I'm done. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Right. Say what you want, criticize all you want. If you ain't got what Paul's talking about here, you're just noise. You're just noise. The church is full of noisemakers. We make a whole lot of noise, but we say nothing. We make a whole lot of noise, but we change nothing. We're just noisy. The church has gotten all about noise. I love you. You know that. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I make a lot of noise when I preach, but I was thrilled to death as someone I heard numerous times from youth pastors. But Randy, the reason we bring our teens to hear you preach is because we know you love them. It's not that Carl wasn't. When I hear that drives me. Because if they ever think I don't love them, I got to get right with God. I got to get right with God. I hope you know and believe in your hearts that I love each and every one of you. And if you don't believe that, help tell me. I want to get right. Because love is the driving force. That's what Paul's saying here. Verse 3. And though I stole all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. If you martyr yourself for the cause of Christ, but you don't have love, it's nothing. It's vanity. Gossip all you want. Criticize all you want. Be negative all you want. It's just noise. It's noise. And the devil's over there. Keep on going. Yes! Are you saying the devil uses Christians? Absolutely he does. In fact, he might be using Christians more in 2019 than God is. What a sad statement. Verse 4, charity suffereth long. Yeah, not guilty. Is kind. Spend time with me, God says. Envieth not. We don't sit around and look at other people and say, well, he's got it better than me. No. You just can't believe God's called your name out. Why does he have 5 talents and he has 3 talents? I only have 1 talent. Be thankful for the 1 talent you have. You might not want the 5 talents. Stay with me, church. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. He rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Today I'm telling you the truth, church. beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Prophecies fail. Noise fails. If you want to criticize all you want, help yourself. It fails. It fails. Some of them are legit. Yeah, it's things I need to fix, but it just seems like it's constant. Life's too short to live like that, man. I feel bad for people who are always seeing the negative. I really do. I feel sorry for those people. Because life is just too short, and God is just too good. Charity never fails. Whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For no in part and prophesy in part, but that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I'm going to share you the significance of this chapter, and I'm done. Notice this. Of all the epistles that God leads Paul to write, of all the epistles the Holy Spirit guides the hand of the Apostle Paul to write, for some reason God told him to write 13 quick verses for the first church at Corinth. The first epistle to the church at Corinth. Why? It was a very worldly, self-centered, carnal church, and Paul rebukes him a lot. But the greatest truth the church at Corinth could learn was going to change the whole tone for 2 Corinthians. If you study both epistles, 2 Corinthians is so different than 1 Corinthians. Because in the midst of this chapter, as he finishes out this book, Paul says, Corinth, listen, if you don't have love, forget it all. Forget it all. Some of us, our treasure chest is in our spiritual closets collecting dust. Maybe we feel like we're not as loved as we used to think we were, but we need to realize how much God loves us today. And how much others love us. And start loving people. Father, thank you. I've obeyed you. It's not what I planned. But I believe we needed this at this church for such a time as this. I know there's visitors here, but Lord, we just need to mind you and obey you today. Now more than ever, Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, I pray this morning you would just prick our hearts. All of us, I need this, Lord. I need this. Maybe that's why you had me do this message, because I needed this. Lord, forgive me for failing you. Forgive me for not loving like I should. Forgive me for not loving you like I should. I pray that you'd help us this morning, please. In Jesus' name.
And just walk away. This is not a price he should even have to pay. They stood amazed as he lay down, and with his stripes and thorny crown, he wrote a message of a different kind. Heads were hanging all around, his own blood poured to the ground. He had no sin, he died for yours and mine. He wrote a message of grace across the sands of time. They stood amazed as he lay down, and with his stripes and thorny crown, he wrote a message of a different kind. Heads were hanging all around as his own blood poured to the ground. He had no sin, he died for yours and mine. He wrote a message of grace across the sands of time. A message of grace across the sands of time. I can see her laying there, everyone around just stared. No one but Jesus cared. In God's heart there's a place I was made to fill. I find a grace when I'm found within his will. He's reserved a sacred place where we can spend the day, and he's waiting there for me, inviting me to stay. And every day I'm amazed God would spend the day with me. I'm overwhelmed by his praise, that he would feel such love for me. To him I'm worth saving, and my heart is craving to know him in his righteousness and understand his will. Love for me, to him I'm worth saving, and my heart is craving to know him in his righteousness and understand his way. Every day, in every way, I'm amazed. Just now.